Live from NPR News, I'm Shea Stevens. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is blasting President Trump for floating the idea of using the White House to accept the Republican presidential nomination later this month. Pelosi tells MSNBC that Trump had no right to even suggest it.
For the President of the United States to degrade once again the White House, as he has done over and over again, by saying he's going to completely politicize it, is something that should be rejected right out of hand.
The Trump campaign had planned to hold the Republican National Convention in Florida and North Carolina due to coronavirus concerns. For the same reason, Joe Biden says he will not travel to Milwaukee to accept his nomination for president at the Democratic Party convention there later this month. The nation's top infectious disease expert says he's hired bodyguards following threats against him and his family. Dr. Anthony Fauci says his prominent role in the White House coronavirus task force has made them vulnerable. More from NPR's Rob Stein.
Dr. Fauci revealed his concerns about the threats to himself and his three daughters during an online forum sponsored by Harvard.
Getting death threats for me and my family and harassing my daughters to the point where I have to get security is just, I mean, it's amazing. I wouldn't have imagined in my wildest dreams.
Dr. Fauci didn't reveal any details about the threats and harassment, but said his family was faring well despite the stress. Fauci has made some statements that have contradicted President Trump. Rob Stein, NPR News.
Japan marked the 75th anniversary of the atomic bombing of Hiroshima today with a ceremony that was scaled down because of the pandemic. As NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports, the bombing killed 140,000 people, mostly civilians.
Participants observed a minute of silence at 8:15 a.m. at a ceremony in Hiroshima's Peace Park. Prime Minister Shinzo Abe remarked that as the only country to suffer an atomic bombing, Japan must work for the elimination of nuclear weapons. Hiroshima Mayor Kazumi Mitsui pointed out, though, that Japan itself has refused to sign a UN treaty to ban atomic bombs. In a videotaped message, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres lamented the fact that post-war arms control agreements are unraveling. Japan still has more than 136,000 survivors of two atomic bombings. Their average age is over 83, and there are 9,200 fewer of them than last year. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Seoul.
Lebanon is observing 3 days of mourning as an investigation continues into the massive explosion that killed at least 135 people, injured thousands more, and caused damage for miles. Tuesday's blast occurred at a dockside warehouse where nearly 3,000 tons of a fertilizer had been stored near a heavily residential area. You're listening to NPR News. The Bank of England is predicting the British economy is facing a longer-than-expected return to where it was before the pandemic. The bank says its policymakers are making no changes to its key interest rate nor its bond-buying program. The U.S. Treasury Department says it plans to continue a shift to longer-term notes and bonds as it takes measures to offset the impact of the pandemic. In Guatemala, a former economic minister is charged with laundering millions of dollars in cocaine profits. Maria Martin reports that the case reveals how much corruption and drug money have infiltrated the highest levels of government there.
A federal court in Miami says Aciclo Valladares, the former economic minister for President Jimmy Morales, helped to launder close to $10 million of illegal cocaine profits, and that for 4 years, Valladares used this dirty money to bribe other corrupt politicians. Valladares had close ties with the telecommunications company Tigo. U.S. attorney Ariana Fajardo Orshan says this case demonstrates the, quote, unfortunate links in Central American countries among drug traffickers, business people, and corrupt politicians. Valladares has been a fugitive from justice since January. For NPR News, I'm Maria Martin.
Iowa is no longer the last state in the nation to deny convicted felons the right to vote. Governor Kim Reynolds has signed an executive order effective immediately. It does not require payment of victim restitution or any other fines, and it excludes people convicted of more serious crimes such as murder. This is NPR News.
Support for